Hey, everybody. I'm Bill. That's Lloyd. And this is StadiaCast. How are you doing today, Lloyd?
I don't know. It feels like I lost an hour's sleep for some reason. I can't really place the why of that.
God, I just despise daylight savings time so much. It is so worthless. If you are ever interested in what's going on with daylight savings time, not just the history behind it, but how effective it is, CCP Gray on YouTube, he does like these stick figure things and they're fantastic. And he does a whole thing about daylight savings time and like where it came from, why we have it, and why it may or may not be a good thing. There you go. Make sure that you check that out this week in time zones. But there are people right now who are here with us live anyway, even though for them, we're an hour earlier. I mean, for us, it's still 10 a.m. on Sunday over at nerdnest.tv because our clocks changed. But like, if you're in England, your clocks don't change for like 2 weeks for some reason. Even though we're all changing our clocks around, we don't all do it at the same time, which is just absolutely bananas. But yeah, daylight savings time is stupid.
It's not like we have like a global internet network where it makes communication super easy so that we could like give a heads up of what we're doing so that others can join in if they choose to.
Yeah.
I mean, if we had that, then this would probably all go away. But until that time, we will have crazy daylight savings in different parts of the world.
And for those of you that are like, why didn't you tell us that you were going to be early next week? It's because I forgot that it was daylight savings time until yesterday, and I messaged Lloyd. I'm like, "Oh no, because he lives in a different country than me." So I was like, "Do you guys switch too?" I can't remember. So there you have it. Before we get started with all of the Stadia news, that is what this is. This is StadiaCast, a podcast about Stadia. And before we get there, just want to let everybody know that we do record this show live, 10 a.m. Eastern. Figure out your daylight savings time issues yourself. 10 a.m. Eastern over at nerdnest.tv. That's our YouTube channel. If you are here with us live and you want to support the show, super easy to do. Use the super chat feature. At the end of the show, we will answer each and every super chat that comes in. You can also click on the join button down below to find out what kind of reasons should I, like, why should I click on the join button? Well, click on it and you'll find out. And then finally, if you are here after the fact, if you're watching this later on and you want to click the applaud button, that helps us too. With all of that being said, I'm going to start by saying I haven't played anything this week. I was super busy. I was swamped. I played a few bits of Pac-Man, which I'm not going to talk about. That game's amazing. I played Valheim and I played Tabletop Simulator, and that was it. And that was just a little bit of each one of those. So it's going to be up to Lloyd to talk about games that we've played this week. Lloyd, what have you been playing?
Well, I played a little bit of Pixel Junk Raiders. I tend to jump in every once in a while and do a quick level and then bounce. But the game that I've spent the most time playing is Saints Row the Third. A game that I've played and completed on, I believe, multiple consoles already. But for some reason, I don't know, it's evoking these like really good feelings from nostalgia of when I played it before, when the world wasn't so crazy. So I've been finding it just like a nice warm blanket to put on when I've been playing it at night and make my way through it. Saints Row the Third still has one of my favorite moments in video gaming ever, and that's when the two characters, your character and one of the other characters in the game, you have to get in a car and drive to a specific area to do a challenge. You're in a car, and you basically you both sing "What I Got" from Sublime, and you do the whole song. And if I got to the location too fast, and I basically just parked the car before I got there. And just listen to the characters just going back and forth, saying "What I Got" and laughing and screwing up the lyrics and just having a good time. Video gaming needs more of that. This game does not take itself seriously by any stretch of the imagination. And it's been wonderful getting there and playing this game again. So if you haven't played it yet, check it out. It's really good on Stadia. It's the same price on Stadia as any other platform. So people are like, oh, it's so expensive. Well, it's the same price everywhere. And it is a really fun game. Not for the kids, though. It is definitely a mature rated title with lots of inappropriate humor if you have young ones running around. So that's pretty much what I've been playing a lot of. I get in a funk. Things happen at work. I get home and I jump into some Saints Row and go do a couple missions and take over part of the little world that you're in, do some stuff, and then go about my daily business. So Saints Row has been filling a nice little little hole that I've had for the last little bit in gaming, and I've been really, really loving it.
I you know, you mentioned Pixel Junk Raiders. I did play a little bit of that. I think I started it up and I like something happened and I had to go, like maybe dinner was done or like somebody needed a ride someplace or something like that. I'm not sure. But I was playing a little bit of Pixel Junk Raiders and I just can't get into that game. Like every time I try, I'm just like, it just feels so empty and barren. And I know that the later biomes feel different, but I just can't get into it. I just find it to be kind of boring, and that's really too bad because I was really looking forward to it, and I love the state share thing that they did. I don't mind the difficulty so much. There's a lot of people in chat that are complaining about the difficulty of the game. I don't mind the difficulty so much. What drives me away is just how just boring it is, and the breakable weapons. You know, when Breath of the Wild came out and everybody was complaining about the breakable weapons, I defended that, saying, well, you know what, though? It's really not all that bad. It forces you to use weapons that you otherwise might not use. I love how Link fights differently depending on the weapon that he has. But because the weapons in this game break so quickly, like it feels almost like you're being punished for using the weapon at all. And I end up doing that same thing that I have a tendency to do in like RPGs, where I will have an inventory just chock full of potions and I will never drink a potion because I'm like, well, what if I need that potion later? Same thing happens with the weapons in Pixel Junk Raiders. So
are you a guy that collects items in games where you'll keep one of every item just in case? Like, I can remember playing like Castlevania Symphony of the Night, and there's a million and one different types of food. So it'll be like an apple and a baked apple and a sugar apple and a flan and a pineapple flan and all this other stuff. And I would go through, figure out where all this stuff dropped, which enemies dropped it. And I'd have one of each in my inventory. Because my brain works in weird ways, and I want to have the thing if I need the thing. There's definitely a little bit of that in Pixel Junk. I like Pixel Junk Raiders. Sorry to jump on your talk a little bit. It's crushingly difficult. So it does have destructible weapons like Breath of the Wild, but if you died in Breath of the Wild, your whole inventory of your weapons didn't disappear and you had to go find them again.
Yeah.
So I don't like that. I wish if nothing else, they could add something in your like mission screen where you could take your inventory and offload it and just bring a couple weapons on your trip with you. Like you can bring a couple of your like little artifact things that you drop on the ground, so that dying wouldn't be so just heart-crushingly difficult. The game is fun. I love the game. I really, really do. I love the idea, and the way that they're doing state share is kind of like a breakthrough for what can be done in the future. It's kind of like the first toe has been dipped in a new ocean that people just discovered. I really love that, but the crushing difficulty is going to keep everybody away that isn't like a hardcore gamer, which on Stadia you need more more accessible titles. So I don't know. I don't know what Q Games has in mind, if they're going to work on some sort of balance patch to bring the difficulty down. But it's just the worst thing is dying and then running to get your body if you've taken the perk that allows all of your items to stay on your body, and then you die before you get there. And it's just like, oh my god, I just farmed all these weapons for an hour in this other map. Now I have to go do that again. It's a little unbalanced, and hopefully that gets fixed before they kind of put the stamp of, okay, we're done on this game, and they walk away and do something else. Because I think there's a nugget of something really awesome here, but it just has too many jagged edges right now.
And you know what? The whole idea of that death being so, like, impactful, that I think a lot of that stems from the fact that the levels are too long. The levels should be 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I should be able to sit down, start a level, finish it in 15 minutes at the most. When I go to sit down to, if I want to sit down and play Pixel Junk, it takes a lot longer than that to finish a mission. And because of that, I don't know about you, but when I sit down to play a game, I don't usually get to play for really long periods of time unless I have, like, gone down and talked to my wife and said, hey, honey, I'm going to stream for this long. Do you need me for anything? And she'll be like, no, of course not. All right, great. So now I have mentally, I've prepped my brain that I can have this much time of gaming time, uninterrupted, basically. And, you know, they'll hear, like, my family will hear me up here talking, and unless they really need me, they'll just let me do my thing, because they know that I'm, but if I'm just up here playing and I'm not streaming, then I'm constantly getting interrupted. I'm not complaining about that, but what I feel like that does is it disincentivizes for me to play these games that have longer levels, I guess. And because of that, I find Pixel Junk Raiders to be, it does not call to me. It does not say, hey, Bill, play this. It just doesn't appeal to me very much. And that's too bad, because I love everything else about it. I love the art style. I think that the combat is pretty good. I love the lo-fi music in the background. The whole thing that they're doing with State Share is fantastic. Everything about this is really good, except for the moment-to-moment gameplay is just too boring and too drawn out. And the worlds are just way too big. Like, everything's really, really spread out. And I feel like they tacked on that super jump ability afterwards, in order to fix that. And I think that's because it's procedurally generated, and maybe the way that they procedurally generate the world makes it feel empty. But then you play a game like Valheim or Minecraft or, you know, any other procedurally generated game, and they don't feel empty, but this feels empty. And I know it's an alien planet, but it just doesn't feel, I don't know, it's just not fun for me.
Yeah, I mean, the worlds are completely random. The levels that you choose are completely random. So you might play it once and you have to only save three people, but then you might play it a second time or a different time, and it's, 17 people you have to save. So the worlds differ greatly between playthroughs, even if you're using kind of the same codes to get in there. From what I've seen. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is a little bit unbalanced. The worlds are huge, but they're huge because they hide a lot of loot all around. So if you just go from settlement to settlement to settlement rescuing the villagers, you're going to miss out on all the loot that's kind of around. But
the places point, where you get that loot they're not interesting though.
That's what I was going to say. To your point, like, finding loot in a barren wasteland isn't that exciting. It's not compelling to me. And then sometimes when you get too close to some of these areas where the loot is, you get those those crazy huge monsters that then will chase you to the ends of the earth. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, that was a bad choice to walk in this direction so that big behemoth comes after me. So yeah, I think the game needs some work. What is there is good if you want to make a hardcore game for the hardcore. Pixel Junk has never kind of been that. It's always been very accessible to everybody, from Pixel Junk, the first one, all the way to Shooter and all the, what's the other one? I just typed it in. I can't,
Monsters?
I'm blanking on it. Monsters. Yeah. So Shooter, Monsters, Eden was great. Like they all have hardcore elements, or at least kind of like elements where you can get better by playing them, but they've never been so punishing to start. So that's my only disappointment with this one. And hopefully they're still working on it, and they will they'll make the game a better than what it is right now.
Yeah, people in chat are saying things like one guy keeps saying that his just won't start at all. I recommend that you contact Google. They should be able to fix that for you. But other people in chat are saying things like, if the world is so empty and the game is so hard, is this a case of the developer trying to lean too heavily on that feature of state share? And I think that may be a possibility. Which brings me to, one of our news stories is that IGN did a review of this game, and I don't often pay attention to, the reviews, like other people's reviews of games, mostly because I don't like it to influence how I feel about a game. Generally, like, there are certain people that I will pay attention to, and if they say a game is good, then I'll check it out. But I don't pay attention to review scores. And I generally won't go to like IGN for reviews, not because I have a whatever against IGN, but I don't know. They reviewed Pixel Junk Raiders, and I watched the review. I agreed with just about everything that they said, and a lot of it is what I was just talking about too. Like, it felt like it was something that I had talked about. But in the whole review, they did not mention once state share. Like, they didn't talk about it at all. Like, almost as if they are unaware of state share. And, like, I saw an article on, I don't know, some website, I can't remember, and they were like, in Pixel Junk Raiders, you can play other people's screenshots, and it kind of feels like the future. And I was like, oh, that's you know what? I agree with that. But for IGN to review the game and not talk about this is, well, first off, that's definitely a knock on IGN. I feel like they dropped the ball on that one big time.
Sure.
But secondly, is that also the fault, like we talked about this last week, I think, is that also the fault of Q Games for not surfacing this very much? I know that at the very beginning of the game, they're like, oh, and you can call in this thing. But if you don't know what state share is, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I feel like they dropped the ball.
I agree 100%. There isn't much shown about state share in the actual game. It would be nice if they had a separate menu where it's like, hey, did you know that if you take a screenshot, it saves a state? And here's some examples of some really fun states that have been saved by the community. And then just have a little picker of kind of like the top states, like curated ones by Q Games, to at least kind of surface the fact that this is a thing. It would also be really nice if there was some way that if you made a state, it would show up in the game of these are the states that you've made. Do you want to share them with your friends in game? It would be a really cool way to keep all that stuff internal. And I know they want to use it as intended. You take a screenshot, you share that screenshot with your friends. They can look at it, but it'd be nice if a lot more of that was kind of surfaced inside the actual video game. Just a curated list of fun states or state share of the week or something would at least tell people that, hey, this is a thing. You can get involved in this thing and you can play these things. So here, go do it. To me, I think it's unfortunate, but I think the player base on this game is going to kind of die off just because the crushing difficulty. But back to the IGN review, not covering this, which is the most innovative part of this game, seems like a huge miss. So either they didn't know it was there or didn't really think that it was important enough to talk about, which is a shame when even the Stadia haters out there were kind of praising what Pixel Junk Raiders was doing with state share in this game. So, yeah, a little bit sad. Hopefully IGN can get on top of it a little bit more.
Yeah, I hope so. All right, let's move on from that game. Let's talk about some upcoming games. We've got a bunch of games that are on the way to Stadia relatively soon. First off, sometime in March, we're supposed to get Disco Elysium, The Final Cut. In March 17th, which is in 3 days, FIFA 21, that's Wednesday. There's, I know that there's a ton of people who are very, very hyped for FIFA. Are you a FIFA guy at all?
No, I'm not a soccer fan at all. I've watched a few games in my life and gone to a couple games here local for the local teams. I don't find much joy in football, European football or soccer here in North America.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm not really a sports game guy, like, at all. And if I'm going to play a sports game, the likelihood of it being a soccer game, I know, football, but the likelihood of it being a soccer game, that drives it way down for the likelihood that I'm going to try that out. Especially, and I know, there's going to be people who are like, it's not simulation. Well, it's not Mario Soccer, you know, like that's the kind of soccer game that I'm interested in, is the goofy arcadey stuff. And FIFA just seems way too high for me. I'm not that kind of player. The day so after, what you're go saying, ahead.
What you're saying is you want FIFA Street to come to Stadia instead of just FIFA 2021.
I don't really care.
do you remember that the street soccer game that that EA was publishing for a couple of years in kind of like the PS2 era?
No, yeah. But then again, I've never like game. When I played FIFA, the last FIFA game that I played, I think was on the Super Nintendo. Like how long ago it was. That was a really long time ago. So FIFA is not something that I'm interested in, but I'm very happy that it's coming to Stadia because there's so many people that love this game. This is one of the biggest games of all time. FIFA is the like EA's number one franchise. I know that a lot of Americans are like, wait, really? It's bigger than Madden? Yeah, it's bigger than Madden because European or like football is bigger than American football, despite what your television tells you. So that's just something to keep in mind. I think it's huge that it's coming to Stadia. I am curious for the FIFA fans out there. Is it too late? Because when does FIFA usually come out? Like, it's a yearly thing, right? So it comes out every single year. When is FIFA 22 coming out?
Yeah, I don't even know when the normal release cadence for FIFA is because I don't pay attention to that franchise at all. So FIFA 21 release date. Let's see when it came out. It came out in October. So yeah, so it's not as late as I thought it was.
Yeah, I thought it was a summer game,
but it is still quite late.
Yeah, I don't like. Are you going to pick it up or are you going to wait for FIFA 22? That's the question that I'm asking.
That's the big question. I'm assuming that a lot of soccer fans on Stadia will be picking up 21 with the hope that there'll be some sort of cheaper upgrade to get 22 when that launches, if it launches day and date. I don't think that will happen, but they're at least going to get a few months of soccer in until the next one ships.
Call it football or people get mad. All right.
I'm Canadian. It's soccer up here.
I know it's football, soccer here.
Football,
too.
You play football with an egg and you play soccer with your feet.
That's right. All right. FIFA 21, March 17th. The next day, Terraria, after a little bit of consternation, Terraria is, after all, coming to Google Stadia.
Of course, on
Thursday. Go ahead. Yeah. You have words to say. I can tell by the timbre in your voice.
I don't have words to say. This whole thing should have just been avoided. It was just such a dumb couple weeks when this whole thing was playing out, and that's publicly shaming a platform because of something else that platform holder does in another business was such a weird way to go about it. That said, I'm excited for Terraria. Terraria is a fantastic game. It's one of the best Minecraft likes that ever came out. It's 2D. It's not a 3D world like Minecraft, but it gave people a lot more to do in that type of game when Minecraft was still just dig down to bedrock, find diamonds, and then go to the Nether and beat the Ender Dragon. Mm-hmm. Or even before the Ender Dragon was in the game. Terraria has so many bosses, special bosses, different worlds, things to find. It's a really, really, really good game. But it could have done without all the drama, sadly, that came along with it. That said, I'm still going to be playing Terraria on Stadia, I'm pretty sure. I really love that title.
Terraria is fantastic. It plays fantastically well on mouse and keyboard. It plays pretty good on controller. The building itself is kind of fiddly and difficult on controller, but I feel like they get pretty good. Like the way that you can kind of zoom in on the block that you're trying to build at the time. And building in Terraria, like when you got to build a long line of something, that works extremely well. You could just put it in place and start running to the right and start putting your blocks out. It's really cool, and I love seeing what people can do with Terraria. I would really like, that's a game that would be really good for state share, where you could share, like, you just take a screenshot and share your seed with all of your stuff that you've built, and somebody else could take it and kind of branch out and start building their stuff, and then next thing you know, they can do a state share of their stuff, which is now wildly different from somebody else's that based on yours. That would be really cool. I would love to see state share used in that way for Terraria or other games of that genre, I guess. The mining and building genre, I think that would be fantastic. Would you think that'll ever happen, or do you think they're just porting and moving on?
I don't know. I really don't know. I would like to think that adding state share to your game would be not a huge effort if you could find an intelligent way to use it. What I would love to see is if you're playing multiplayer with other Stadia users to use Stream Connect. So when your buddy isn't on the same screen as you, show a little picture in picture of where they are in your worlds and what they're doing. That would be a really cool feature. And that would probably be pretty trivial for the developers to add in. To me, that would be a more useful feature to add if you're going to use one of the Stadia exclusive features, just so that you know where everybody in your world is at any given time, just by these little snapshots of where they are.
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic. I would love to see both of those things. State share and Stream Connect would be a fantastic way to differentiate Terraria on Stadia. And it would also entice more people who've already, like, millions of people have played Terraria. It would give people a reason to buy it again, because of these new features. So I do hope that happens. That's a cool idea. Then we've got March 26th, K's in the Wild Masks. That's that 2D side-scrolling platformer where you're a bunny and you put on masks and turn into other animals, which looks really cool. So those are the games that are coming in March. Anything like Terraria is the top one for you?
I'd love to play Disco Elysium. We don't have an actual release date other than March. Everyone says that has played it says it's one of the best games they've ever played, and I haven't had the pleasure to play it on any other platform, so it'd be nice to give that a go on Stadia when it finally launches.
So speaking of the mining and building games variety, genre, I guess, first off, these are leaks, so grain of salt, huge grain of salt. I struggled on whether or not I would include this, but 4chan, which is one of the worst websites on the planet, 4chan leaked, an anonymous user leaked, that there's two games that are on the way to Stadia later this year. One of them I'm excited about, the other one I could not care less. And I feel like that's going to be flip-flopped for almost everybody else out there. Valheim is rumored to be on its way to Stadia as well as other consoles, and as well as GTA. Now, Valheim is the one that I would be excited for, and I would buy it again because that game is just fire. It's so good. But then GTA, I just do not care. And I think almost everybody else who is listening to this, hearing my voice, they're like, Bill, you could not be more wrong. GTA is the game that everybody cares about and nobody cares about. This little six-person team for Valheim. What do you think about these quote-unquote leaks?
I think it's plausible. I don't know if this is a leak or just some educated guessing. I would assume that Valheim is going to come to every platform. It sold 5 million copies on Steam in early access. They're going to want to get as many people playing this game when it gets to actual retail release, not early access release. So that makes total sense. It's already running on PC with Vulkan, so it's not like it's going to be you're porting from DirectX to Vulkan before it can come on Stadia. That support is already there, so it's still going to be a lot of work to get it ported, but some of that plumbing has already been laid. Back to Grand Theft Auto, I would assume that GTA will be coming to Stadia at some point. There's current rumors, and kind of not rumors, but kind of still rumors, that they're working on a remaster of GTA 3, GTA San Andreas, and GTA Vice City. So a full remaster of those three games as a remastered collection. And if that happens, I could see that coming to every platform, because these are older games. It wouldn't be as tough as porting GTA 5. I wouldn't assume, even though I believe they're going to be using part of that engine for these remasters. If I could get GTA Vice City on Stadia, I would be such a happy guy. That is my favorite Grand Theft Auto. I love the 80s. I love 80s music. I love 80s Miami Vice vibe, and be able to play that on Stadia would just be fantastic. And I think this is a way that they can kind of do a little bit of stopgap before GTA 6 comes out. They're still making money hand over fist with Grand Theft Auto Online, but this will at least give some single player games to people that have been crying out for like the last 5 years that they want another GTA game to play.
Yeah, I think that, look, we have Red Dead Redemption 2 on Google Stadia. It makes sense that GTA is coming to Stadia at some point. In my opinion, I think that is inevitable. At some point, we will get GTA on Stadia. Then, like you said, with Valheim, it already runs Vulkan, which I know that there's a lot of people that say, well, it's already on Vulkan. Porting should be super easy. Just because it's using Vulkan does not mean that it's ready to, like, you can't just push a button and get it to suddenly run on completely different hardware. So that's something else to keep in mind. But I also do think that it's possible. Now, you also have to think about the size of the team for Valheim. Valheim has a team of, like, I think it's six people. Yeah. So getting them to start porting stuff to all of these other platforms, that's a big ask. And the game is still in early access. So maybe not this year, unless Google, you know, hires a porting house and says, we're going to give you a pile of money in order for you to let us, in order for you to let us pay this other company to port your game to Stadia. Or maybe they use some of the people who are working at SG&E, because not everybody at SG&E lost their jobs, thank goodness. Maybe some of those people are going to be like a port house where they're like, all right, we're going to help you port your game to our platform. I think that would be cool too. Google,
sure,
you got lots of money. Start throwing it around and throw it at Valheim. And if you got to, throw it at GTA as well, because a lot of people really, really like that game. I just don't care. Yeah. But that's what I want Valheim. I want Valheim so bad.
I do as well. And porting to Stadia wouldn't be such a huge effort, most likely. You look at the Skyclimbers team. I think there's like three people or four people that were working on Skyclimbers. And they already have Skyclimbers running on multiple platforms in kind of development. So a small team can port their own game, and there's something to be said about keeping all the ports together so you can share as much of the code base across all the different platforms as well, and just have kind of like the platform specific things that are unique to each platform. So the fact that the GTA games, if these are really just the old games that are coming to Stadia, being so old, keeping a lot of that stuff on in the same code base, and then just having the alternate versions for all the different platforms compiled might be easier than putting all your code in a bucket and sending it to someone else to say, hey, make this work. So yeah, I mean, it could happen either way. I just want to see more games like Valheim, like GTA, like big open world or big procedurally generated exploration games on Stadia, because I think having all that stuff in the cloud makes total sense to be able to open up your phone, hit an icon, start a game, and then play for 15 minutes and then put your phone to sleep and go about your business. That is a really good way to explore and play in these big open world games. So I hope this isn't just a rumor. I hope there was some smoke based on a fire being somewhere. People are seeing the smoke and they're making up ideas of these games coming. Grand Theft Auto on Stadia would be fantastic. But yeah, like you, Bill, Valheim on every platform, I think, would be a good thing. I think Valheim is going to be kind of like Minecraft, where you could play it anywhere and hopefully do multiplayer with anybody when the game finally reaches a point where it comes out of early access.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking about Terraria with the State Share and the Stream Connect. Also would be fantastic additions to Valheim. Like, imagine, there's been plenty of times where I've been playing with other people in Valheim and we're like, where are you? We can't. And being able to see the other person and what they're like, that's funny. I was playing last night, and my wife walked by as she was going in into another room, and as she walked by, I was like looking at this thing that I had just found. It's the place where you summon the second boss. And I walked up to it, and as I finally saw it, because I was like, I'm going to go find this place. As I finally saw it, I was like, oh my God. And like, I imagine, like, if I was playing online with other people at that time and they hear me say something like that, it would be so cool for them to look at the corner and be like, what is he looking at right now? That is so cool. And there's a lot of moments like that in Valheim. So I would absolutely love if we had Valheim on Stadia. I know that right now you can stream it using GeForce Now, but my preferred platform is Stadia. I think it's more user-friendly, and overall, I think that the stream quality is better, and it's just a better experience overall. But those two games, I know, I'm not going to say anything about the second boss. Don't worry, people in chat. It's just very cool. All I'll say is, when you find it, you're like, oh, that looks cool. And I haven't even seen the boss yet, just the place to summon them. All right.
Right.
Let's talk about Bethesda. I asked people, what do you guys want us to talk about? And somebody said, can you talk about the possibility of Bethesda games coming to Google Stadia? What's going on with that? So they did they finally put the acquisition has been approved. And it's now official. Microsoft owns ZeniMax Studios, which owns Bethesda, and that's id Software, and all of these other companies that are all under ZeniMax, now owned by Microsoft. And Phil Spencer was talking, and he had a very... I want to read this quote, and then I want to hear your take on this, Lloyd.
Sure.
So here's what he said. Obviously, I can't sit here and say every Bethesda game is an Xbox exclusive, because we know that's not true. There's contractual obligations that we're going to see through. We have games that exist on other platforms, and we're going to go and support those games on the platforms they're on, like Elder Scrolls Online, just giving somebody an example. Sure. There's communities of players. We love those communities and will continue to invest in them. And even in the future, there might be either contractual things or legacy on different platforms that we'll go do. But if you're an Xbox customer, The thing I want you to know is this is about delivering great exclusive games for you that ship on platforms where Game Pass exists. And that's our goal. That's why we're doing this. That's the root of this partnership. That's what we're building. And the creative capability we'll be able to bring to the market for Xbox customers is going to be the best it's ever been for Xbox after we're done here. Now, I want to say real quick before you jump in, I said that when Microsoft purchased ZeniMax, that we would still see The Elder Scrolls 6 on PlayStation and Stadia and all of these other places. We would still see most games for a very long time come to other platforms. And it looks like I was probably wrong about this. Now, some games we will see and some we won't. What are your thoughts on this, Lloyd?
It's interesting. When Microsoft bought Minecraft and continued to not only publish the game on other platforms, but bring it to new platforms that weren't there when they bought Mojang, I took that as kind of the blueprint that they're going to use with any future purchases. Seems like maybe that isn't the case, or maybe it is, but they want to give their teams a latitude to work on these crazy exclusives that really wouldn't work if they were going to be multi-platform, because they might be just like a weird just idea that then becomes something that people can play. Kind of like the what's the name of the game? Unraveled for EA. A small team decided to make this game. Everyone started to like it. They made a little yarn, little doll. It became a big thing, and then it was multi-platform. So I'm thinking, or at least right now, I'm thinking that there's probably going to be a lot of that type of stuff coming from Bethesda. I still think big games like Doom, where there's a big multiplayer component, is going to be cross-platform. There's probably going to be a lot of other games like Elder Scrolls. I can't see Elder Scrolls ever just being on one platform again. I guess it would be one platform plus PC maybe, because there's a lot of people that play those games on PC. But what I think some of the good things that this merger is going to do for Xbox is now Microsoft owns a really good game engine. So now they don't have to use Unreal Engine. They don't have to write their own. They don't have to do anything. They can just take that id tech and use it across all of Microsoft, which will be good for them, because they're not going to be paying money every time someone buys one of their games to an engine owner like Epic or Unity, if some of their teams are using Unity. Back to the core of your question, I don't know. I don't think that all the big games are going to be exclusive to Microsoft. But that statement, games will be exclusive to platforms where Game Pass exists, makes me kind of take a step back and say, okay, maybe this is way different than what we assumed. I play on Xbox, so this isn't going to affect me. But if you are like, if you're only a Stadia player, or you're only a Nintendo player, or you're only a PlayStation player, this has to kind of sting a little bit when you get a quote like that. I don't know. XCloud or whatever Xbox streaming is going to be a little bit more open in the coming years. You'll be able to play it on PC or whatever, so maybe this won't be such a huge deal to a lot of people. But it still makes you take a step back and kind of think about what the industry is going to look like in a few years when these purchases of large gaming companies become more commonplace. Is it really going to be every game publisher is going to be owned by a platform holder in the future? Maybe. I don't know. It's interesting. This isn't what I thought would be announced. So I'm still kind of processing it a little bit.
Yeah, and I feel the same way. I'm going to use a single example. I still think that Elder Scrolls 6 will be on all platforms. But Elder Scrolls 7 will be an exclusive to whatever Xbox is when that comes out. I don't see us getting Elder Scrolls 7 on other platforms. Elder Scrolls Online, that's already on other platforms. They're going to continue to support that. next year when the next expansion, or it might be this year when the next expansion comes out for that, I fully anticipate that it will be on PlayStation and Stadia and Xbox and PC, everywhere that Elder Scrolls Online already is. That's the legacy stuff that he's talking about. Right. Games that are that they have been working on for a long time, that they've put money into getting them on these other platforms, those are going to, like, I think that in 2 years, we're really going to see the effects of this merger, where you're going to see none of the, like, I think in like 2 years, you won't see any Bethesda games coming to other platforms, except for like expansions for ESO and things like that. And then going on beyond that, I think it's just going to be all exclusive, which is really way too bad. Because I am one that always dislikes exclusivity, but I also don't blame Microsoft for doing this because it's really good for the platform as a whole. Somebody in chat, somebody in chat said, I think Jem said something along the lines of, how is this a big win for Microsoft? These games were going to come to Microsoft anyway. The big win is that this is going to get so many people to subscribe to Game Pass. Like, what was it, 3 days ago, we had 20 Bethesda games come to Game Pass. That's a really good deal. Game Pass was already a really good deal. This is an even better deal now because of Bethesda. And, like, I see what Microsoft is doing. And I've seen people say over and over, I wish that that's what Stadia would do. I wish that Stadia would be like Game Pass. I wish that Stadia would be going out and buying up all of these other companies to make their games. And on one hand, that's definitely, it's definitely, as far as PR goes, that's definitely working for Microsoft at this point. And as far as PR goes, what Stadia is doing is definitely not working for Stadia at this point. So maybe those people are right, but we also don't have all of the information. Like, there, we don't know what's going on with Stadia from behind the scenes, and we probably never will. So maybe they're making the right choice, but maybe they're making the wrong choice, and there's no way for us to really know.
What you just said is exactly correct. Microsoft wants more people subscribing to Game Pass. There's a large segment of the population that buys a console to use as a media hub, to play free-to-play games, to buy the odd game every year, to play their favorites. What Microsoft wants to do is turn those people into people that are paying $15 a month to play all these other games that are available for free. Because if these people are buying one game a year, Microsoft doesn't want that. They want these people to essentially buy three games a year by paying the $15 a month to Microsoft. So they just want to get those numbers up. And I think that's going to be the big battle in this generation, because PlayStation Now is all of a sudden awesome. It was trash. I've used it for years and years and years. 720p, super laggy. Apparently it's 1080p now all of a sudden. I haven't played it in like 9 months or more. I'm going to have to sub again to try PlayStation Now to see how that is. So you're going to have PlayStation having their own platform for cloud. You're going to have Microsoft having their own platform for cloud. Nintendo is still partnering with some third party. Who knows if Nintendo is going to actually take that internal and work on their own stuff. Unlikely, because it's Nintendo, but it's one of those things where you're gonna potentially have a future where any game will be available if you're on PC. It doesn't matter if it's a PlayStation exclusive or Xbox exclusive. You can use the PC client to access those, except for Nintendo. So I could see a future where gamers buy a PC and a Switch. They play everything on their PC through streaming or locally installed things, or Stadia or GeForce Now or Luna or whatever, and then they have their Switch there because they have to get their Nintendo exclusives. The gaming industry is going to change a lot over the next couple years, and it's going to be interesting to see kind of how new new things sort of are surfaced, new ways of people playing, new ideas about what gaming is. It's going to be a very transformative generation that we're currently in. And it's going to be fun talking about it for the next half a decade or more.
Yeah, it is going to be a huge change. And I'm looking forward to the change. And, you know, people are in chat are like, when I can, I'll be interested in Game Pass when I have it on a streaming stick. And for me, somebody who does not have, I don't have an Xbox Series X sitting next to me like Lloyd. So that's kind of where I am too. I subscribe to Game Pass. I never, don't tell my wife, but I never play it. I never play it. I subscribe to it because I think I'm going to play it, but then I don't play it. I mean, it's super cheap, right? I got it like a ridiculous deal, but I never play it because I can't be bothered to download the games. Like, I saw all those games that were announced with the deal, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to fire up the app on my computer, and I'm going to play one of them. And it was like, okay, you got to download it. And I was like, I'll just go play Pac-Man. I don't have time to wait around for that. So that's where I am too. I want it to be streaming. That's the future as far as I'm concerned. Absolutely. All right. Let's move on to this week in Stadia. They mentioned a couple of things here. First off, Crayta is launching another big update on March 10th. So that's already happened. With the Alien Conspiracy Battle Pass, it has 100 levels and outfits and stuff like that. So Crayta keeps updating and bringing more stuff. I think they recently, I think it was like a month or two ago, they updated the animations. So the animations of the character models are better, which is interesting to me. I haven't tried it, though. Then they said they also have Monster Energy Supercross. The official video game 4 is now on Stadia as well. That came out on March 11th for $60. It says Monster Energy, and I immediately don't care. maybe that means I'm closed-minded, but I immediately don't care about this because it says Monster Energy in the title of the game. Am I being ridiculous, Lloyd?
You're so close-minded, Bill. Like, come on. Chat room. Where are you? No, just joking. All these like kind of dude bro sponsorship things are kind of like, even the logo has like explosions going off. It's kind of like you're parodying the early 2000s. But yeah, this is a long-running franchise. People really love dirt biking and dirt bike racing games. This looks like a really good version of that. That's not my love. I'm glad it's here for people that love that stuff. I don't really enjoy those games personally, but I'm glad it's here on Stadia.
Yeah. And if I'm going to play a dirt bike game, it's going to be Trials. Trials is awesome. Trials. That's so fun. And it's usually really cheap as well. Then they had, so they've been doing this more often where they have a This Week in Stadia and then they have Next Up on Stadia. And they announced two games that are coming to Stadia soon. We don't know what soon is, but Trine 4, The Nightmare Prince, and Blue Fire. I did a video about it, so I don't have a whole lot that I need to re-say. If you want to hear my thoughts on it, go watch the video. But Lloyd hasn't had a chance to talk about Blue Fire and Trine 4. What are your thoughts, man? Yeah.
Trine is a great series. I love those games. I haven't played 4. I'm pretty sure I own it through some bundle or something that I bought. I think I own 4, but I've never played it. So that coming to Stadia, I might actually give it a go because, like Bill, I don't like downloading things. I like just hitting play and then playing. But what really is exciting me about this announcement is Blue Fire. I hadn't heard about this game. Apparently, it's out on other platforms. It's the first I've seen of it. And It has this art style that is super reminiscent of Breath of the Wild. And no, I'm not saying it's a Breath of the Wild ripoff or anything like that, as people have been saying that everybody says that every game that comes out that has mountains or a stamina meter is a Breath of the Wild ripoff. I'm not saying that.
Don't forget the individual blades of grass. Like, that's always a very Breath of the Wild thing.
Exactly. But the... what the developers with this game have done is not tried to be photoreal and instead use this really interesting cel-shaded aesthetic for things. This game just looks gorgeous, and it looks like if Zelda was mixed with like a Ninja Gaiden game or something like that, with like the crazy jumping and platforming and battles. So I'm really, really excited for Blue Fire, a game I hadn't heard of. So again, Stadia is bringing new experiences to me for games that I didn't know exists. Not every announcement needs to be a AAA game. I'm glad to see these more small teamed independent games getting some love on the Stadia blog, because a lot of these games are awesome and people just don't play them because they're not from the big publishers.
Yeah, I 100% agree with all of those things. And of course, when I made my video about this, I had a bunch of people say that same thing, that I'm not interested because this isn't a AAA game. And all I have to say to that is you are missing out on some fantastic video game experiences if all you ever do is go after these games that are made by teams of hundreds of people, because there's some amazing games out there like Terraria. Like what's your favorite indie game of all time?
Minecraft.
Yeah. So, okay, there you go. I mean, Minecraft isn't indie anymore, but when it started, it absolutely was indie. And like that's one of those things that you would not have experienced if not for indie games. So just something to keep in mind, everybody.
So one thing you gotta keep in mind is these people that are complaining that they only want the AAA games, like they're used to only eating steak and lobster because they have the best meal every single time that they eat. Like three times a day, like for breakfast, lunch, and supper, they have steak and lobster. So when they're not complaining about video games, they're spending a lot of time in the bathroom from all of that red meat that they're eating. So you just got to give them a break there, Bill.
You know what? I think that's a weird analogy, and I'm going to leave it at that. let's go ahead and hit up these super chats. We had a bunch that came in throughout the show, so thank you very much, everybody, for the support. Keith Hutchison sent one in. He said, got Saints 3, but been playing Red Dead 2. Do you think GTA 5 will come? Well, we talked about that extensively. So I don't know why that's... Oh, it looks like they're all in here twice for some reason. That's weird. Go ahead.
Yeah, GTA 5, I still think GTA 5 could come in the future. I talked more about the retro remasters, but I wouldn't be surprised if GTA 5, or if only GTA, to get GTA Online on more platforms, happens at some point.
Yeah, I think it's inevitable. But we talked about that extensively. Thank you very much, Keith, for the support, though. Jacob Dickens sent in a super chat. Timeline for Resident Evil games to hit Stadia. What do you think, Lloyd? Capcom flew past what's his name in the giant white room. So
yeah, and there was the leak that happened when Capcom got broken into and all their data was stolen, and there was documents about payments that were happening. So they were paid $100,000 for this and $200,000 for that to get the game running at 4K and 60. So we know they're at least working on it. Whether that turns into an actual release, because a lot of games get worked on and never release, even when they're a game that exists and they're just being ported to another platform. Yeah. I hope we do. I hope we get like Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3 remasters. I hope we get some of the other games as well. I'm not sure if we're going to get Village anytime soon, but to get some of the older games, I'd be super happy with that.
Yeah. As far as for me, Resident Evil 2, I played it on my PS4. That game is amazing. What a fantastic, the remake version anyway. What an absolutely fantastic game. I don't think that they've remade the original one, have they? Thank you.
Well, they did, but not in the same way. Like you play Resident Evil. It was kind of like a half step remaster. When was that even done?
I don't know.
Resident Evil remaster.
He's Googling things.
Resident Evil remake, because I can't keep everything in my brain. Oh yeah, it was remade on 2002 for the GameCube, but then it also came to Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, PS4, Windows. So it's not a modern remaster, but its ability to play the first game again on a newer platform would be great.
Yeah, I agree. Jerry Hofstra sent in a super chat with no comment. Thank you very much for the support. Dithlev said, I was looking at SteelSeries Arctis 7P wireless headset, and down under compatibility was the Stadia controller. That is kind of cool. Okay, so I don't know anything about that particular headset. I have an Arctis Pro wireless. I don't. That's different from the 7P. As far as compatibility, do they mean because you can plug it in, plug the headphone jack into the bottom, or what does that mean?
I guess so. The 7P is the PlayStation focused one. It's made to look and work well with PS5. So okay. It is kind of funny that something that was made purposefully to be a PlayStation accessory lists Stadia as compatibility on the box. So I think there was more that was what Dithlev was getting at.
Gotcha. Okay, that's cool. Dithlev. Now I know how to pronounce Dithlev. It, and I will forget next time. Chuck T sent in a super chat. He said, what are y'all's thoughts on the fact that Stadia can be played on an Xbox through the Edge browser, which is in beta, I believe? So we did talk about this last week a little bit. Lloyd is part of the beta, but not high enough in the beta to actually use this feature yet. Correct. I think that this is fantastic. I want people to have less things plugged into their TV. And that's always a good thing. And if you can play PS Now, that's what it's called, right?
Yep.
Okay. If you can play PS Now, Luna, GeForce Now, and Stadia all on your Xbox, that's going to sell a lot of Xboxes. That's good for Microsoft. Hopefully they see it that way.
Exactly. We've never had a console that has a modern standards compliant browser. We've always had browsers since like the PlayStation 3, but they've been weird versions. They don't work with many websites. You can't do streaming video. You can't do all this stuff. Edge using Chromium as a base means that it's a modern standards compliant browser, which means you can do banking from your Xbox. You can do Netflix from your Xbox. You can go to whatever website to read your news from your Xbox. So that opens up the world to services that exist today, but also services that exist in the future that we don't even know about yet. So that's going to be huge. And I hope Microsoft continues to leave this version of Edge untouched from the Windows version, to keep it the exact same code base so that stuff that is working on your PC works on your Xbox.
Yeah.
That'll be huge.
Now, I haven't tried it because I don't have an Xbox, and Lloyd hasn't tried it because he's not high enough in the beta, whatever. But obviously when one or more of us is able to try it, we'll be able to talk about it more. Does it leave the, like, is it full screen?
Yeah, I believe so.
So when you're playing the game, you're not like seeing other UI nonsense on top of it, right?
I don't believe so. I've only seen some screenshots of people when they were first trying to get it working. Things like if you hit the Stadia button, it didn't work. So not all that stuff is working quite yet. Who knows if this will even be in the shipping version, but if all goes according to what they've already shown, when this releases to everybody, you'll be able to full screen it. You'll be able to bring up menu items. You'll be able to do all that stuff, whether you're playing with your Xbox controller or another controller through the cloud. Who knows how that's all going to work, but I'm excited to see, to kind of see how that all plays out. I hope, my fingers are crossed, that Microsoft won't try to take features away of this from this browser. But I don't know. Does Microsoft really want you giving money to Sony? I guess so, because you've already bought a $500 box that's sitting under your TV.
Yeah,
so
but
what do they
lost
care?
Money on that. When they sold you an Xbox, they lost money.
Yeah, but then you have Xbox Game Pass. Right. Maybe they're expecting that. Like, it's tough to predict where this will go. I'm eager to see how it all plays out. I keep thinking that with every new beta that comes out, every new alpha release or whatever in the circles, that they're just going to strip all that stuff away. But it appears that more and more stuff seems to be working each time that they've updated it. So I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll have a future where we have a modern web browser on a console and we can play any streaming service on it and just have one box connected to our TV.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. There's a couple things. First off, if it's a standards compliant browser, that means that you don't have to get Netflix to put an app on to yeah. make an app for your box. It means yeah. that you don't have to do that for anybody, basically, which is huge. But the yeah. Xbox also has mouse and keyboard support, right? So this is essentially yeah. a computer.
Yeah, it is. It's running a version of Windows 10. Right. Well, the Xbox OS is Windows 10 kernel. They switched that over with the Xbox One yeah. about halfway through its life. They changed it fully over to like being Windows 10. So yeah, it essentially is a big PC that runs games really, really well. So it doesn't surprise me. But yeah, mouse and keyboard support, all that other stuff coming to it. This could be like the one box that everybody buys because it can do all the things without relying for people to create apps.
They should call it the Xbox One.
But they should. Yeah, because it's it input one on your TV. That's a great idea. We should call Microsoft. That's good marketing.
Anyway, so that's it for these super chats. We did have some other stuff in CrowdPlay, but it's, you know, the show has already gone over an hour. Last thing that I'll say before we get out of here, Immortals Fenyx Rising has their second DLC yep. on the way on March 25th. Are you hyped for that, Lloyd?
I am. The teaser, what is it? Teaser mission, I think they call it, is, I believe, out in the game right now. So you can do the teaser mission for this next DLC right now. And then on March 25th, you'll be able to jump into the DLC. I love Immortals Fenyx Rising. I can't wait to play more of that game.
All right. Well, that's it for Stadia Cast. I'm Bill. That's Lloyd. It's good to talk to you guys. Thank you very much for hanging out with us. And we will see you next Sunday at 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern. Hopefully, people won't sleep through it because of the daylight savings time next week. But there you go. Lloyd, it's good talking to you, man.
It was great talking to you. Thanks, everybody, for coming out, and we'll talk to you next week here on StadiaCast.